Well, good evening, and thank you for joining us. This is the Rockland LLC podcast for Monday, October 9th. We're glad to have you with us. And we've got a lot to cover tonight, so we're just going to jump right into it. The first little bit I've got is some news. For those of you that have been online looking for the Rockland Office Suite version 4, which we've been touting for release last Friday, October 3rd, unfortunately, we did hit a little bit of a delay there. That software is due out this week. We are taking pre-orders, though. What you can do is you can go to our website, www.rockland.com, that's rockland.com, and order the Rockland Office Suite 3 that's up there, and you'll actually have, we'll actually send you Rockland Office Suite version 4. In fact, as of yesterday, anybody that orders version 3 will be shipped version 4. We don't keep the legacy products. We don't ship version 3 or version 2 or anything of that nature once a new version comes out. So if you're looking to get it and you don't want to keep checking back from day to day, just go ahead and put the order in now. And we should have that software ready to go by Friday of this week. I'm just working out a few bugs there. On a side note, I received an email from a customer this weekend, it was a listener rather, somebody in the radio business who had some pointers for me in regards to the show and how it's handled, and I wanted to thank that person because I know it's probably hard to tell, but I have had no broadcasting experience. And so for those of you out there that have any suggestions to make the program go more smoothly, be more informative, whatever, feel free to send us an email. We'll always appreciate your suggestions, your feedback. Your praise is always welcome, too. Give me some, give me an ego boost, if you will, please. in any event, so we've got the Rockland Office Suite 4 coming out this week instead of last week. And we've also got an exciting new product. Should be available mid-next week. We're working out the order details right now to get it in stock. But for those of you that have been listening the past couple weeks, we've been talking about some of the PCMCI wireless cards. And one thing that I noted and that more and more people are actually asking about is that some newer laptops aren't coming out with PCMCIA slots anymore, the little slot on the side where you put the card in. They've been coming out with this new technology called an Express Card slot. And we've been getting still a relatively small number, but an increased number of people needing to send back the PCMCIA product, very disappointed because the new laptop that they got from Dell or from HP, much to their surprise, didn't have a PCMCIA slot. And up until now, there really wasn't much option to do anything about that. You know, there's no external PCMCIA slots that you can buy. But what we've got coming out, should be available next week, is from Sanow. If you've listened to the broadcast, you know we've tested the Sanow PCMCIA cards. They've got a 200 milliwatt, high-powered, long-range USB adapter. And get this, it's an 802.11 ABG adapter. That means it works with all three wireless standards, 802.11a, 802.11b, 802.11g. High power, 200 milliwatt. You should be able to get great range from this. We'll have it up on our website next week as soon as we get them in stock. And we're also going to be doing some comparison testing of the USB adapter versus the Sanow 200 milliwatt PCMCIA card with the external 7 dBi gain antenna, and also versus the Zycomax 300 milliwatt card we have as well. So we'll be doing some comparison tests, and make sure to check out our blog, which is on our website, to see some pictures of the signal strength and all that. But for those of you that have laptops that don't have PCMCIA slots, this is going to be a great way to boost your wireless range. From what we've read, these 200 milliwatt USB adapters outperform any type of internal wireless adapter. So this should be something very exciting for those that are otherwise limited because of their laptop's functionality. So check for that next week. And just to reiterate again, because we have been getting more questions, if you're in the market for a laptop right now and you plan on getting a long-range wireless card, when you call Dell to order or when you go to Best Buy or Circuit City to look at what selection they have available, make sure to check out if it has a standard PCMCIA card slot. A card bus PCMCIA card slot is a technical terminology. Some newer laptops like Dell, HP is another one, Compaq has a couple of models, no longer carry this standard PCMCIA card slot. I say that five times fast, which has been standard now for, going back to probably the late 90s, this type of card slot has been standard. So suddenly it's like, almost like buying a car without a radio. It's just people aren't used to it. They're not aware the laptop's come and it doesn't have it. So, if you've bought laptops in the past and you're used to having that slot, check with the staff of the store, check with customer support at Dell or at Gateway, wherever you order from, and just have them verify that it's got that standard card slot. But if it doesn't, and the laptop's still a good deal, now at least with these 200 milliwatt USB adapters we've got coming out next week, you'll be able to, you know, still add some long-range wireless functionality to your laptop. And on that note, in fact, I had mentioned a couple moments ago for people to send us their feedback regarding the program. We'd actually like to do something new tonight, and you know, we're a business, you know, here at Rockland. Obviously, you know, our sole focus is selling products to consumers. It's not broadcasting. We don't just have a show and then this is all we do is review technology products. So to that end, we have some goals that we want to get out of the show. Obviously, we want to expand our reach to clients and get our brand name known. But, you know, we also want to provide knowledge to consumers as well and you know, help them find the best deal, whether it be with us, whether it be with another company, whatever, but provide them knowledge about different products. But in as much as we want to help you, you can also help us help you. And the way we figured you could do that is by letting us know, like if we've got, for example, all the time we get spreadsheets of new products that we can carry, and then we have to make decisions of whether or not we want to carry this product. And our means of knowing whether or not there's going to be demand for this product are sometimes limited. You can't always tell what's going to sell in the American market, the online market. So what we want to do is every few weeks we might bring up on the show, I might bring up a new product, and I'd like to ask you folks if this is a product you consider buying, if this is something you would have interest in, and I'll mention a price point, and if you could email us during the week or telephone us and just let us know if you'd be interested in the product. You don't have to place an order or anything like that, but just let us know if you'd have any interest on it, kind of like a podcast poll, if you will. Just let us know if you'd have interest, and then we can gauge if our client base has interest in this particular product, or if maybe there's no interest at all and so we just don't carry it. And so this week that product is a new 400 milliwatt mini PCI card from Sanao. Now these cards are virtually impossible to find in the US market right now. In fact, if you go on eBay, I went on there yesterday, I saw one person selling one right now, and I looked at the completed auctions for the last 2 weeks, and there wasn't a single closed auction for this card. So it's a very rare card in the U.S. market. It's 400 milliwatts of output power. It's a very powerful card, very long-range card. And for those of you that have laptops that already have an internal card built in, you know, you were kind of limited in what to do. You could buy a PCMCA card if you had a slot. Now you can get this 400 milliwatt mini PCI card and upgrade your internal card. So on the surface, it seems like this might be a product that's worthy of us carrying. The price, though, would be in the $65 range plus shipping, which is quite a bit higher. As you know, we sell the Broadcom 802.11g mini PCI cards for about $12, and you can get, you know, some different brands anywhere from $12 to $30. So it is about twice the price of a normal mini PCI card. But if the range is that much better, that might make it worth it. So if you have a chance, just email us sales@rockland.com, rockland.com, or give us a phone call and let us know, let us know if this is a product that you'd be interested in at that price point, or if not, if you think that's just outrageous, you wouldn't pay that for that product, let us know. We certainly want your feedback there. So moving forward in our program tonight, last week we had some interesting discussion about, in the week before, about net neutrality, that legislation. And we also had our first book review last week. We reviewed one of Donald Trump's book, and we got some reaction to that, which was positive, and we're definitely going to be doing more book reviews. But as I said on the show last week, we didn't want to make the program like a weekly book review. So instead of doing a book review tonight or doing any product comparisons, I'd like to go back and answer some customer questions, which we do from time to time. You know, we get a number of people that email us questions about products on a daily basis, or they ask questions over the phone. And if we think a question is important enough to answer on the air, or a lot of people are asking it and we want to clarify, it's nice to go ahead and do that here on the broadcast. And so tonight we're actually going to focus in on one question. I don't have multiple questions to answer because this question has several parts to it. The answer has several parts to it, rather. And so it'll take up some time. And as we're already hitting the 10-minute mark of the broadcast, we'll just focus in on this one question for tonight. But it's an important question, and the customer asks, what can I do to boost my wireless range aside from buying new equipment? And so the customer's position probably, you know, you've got an 802.11b router and card, or maybe an 802.11g router and card that you bought a few years ago. You're getting decent coverage with it, but you want to boost your range. You want to try to put another computer up in the back bedroom upstairs, and the wireless signal is just not reaching. So the customer wants to know, is there anything you can do aside from having to upgrade the long-range equipment, you know, that might boost the range of the network? And there are a couple things you can do. And the first and foremost, customers ask me a lot. They say, Jason, what kind of range in feet, in terms of feet, am I going to get if I buy this wireless card from you? And what you have to understand, folks, is that wireless range is an imperfect science. It's not like with an Ethernet cable in the days of old where you could run a 10-foot Ethernet cable to that side of the room and then you got 10 feet of range through the cable. Wireless, usually the boxes will print on the back of the card or the router what the average range or what the expected range might be. But they can be factored by a number of outside, you know, influences. Case in point, the equipment. You know, of course, if you've got low-end equipment, that'll factor it. But even more so, nowadays we're seeing things like interference play a more integral part of disrupting the flow of wireless networks. Now, if you live in an urban area or an area where there are houses close together, and you may notice on your wireless card that you get you pick up a number of other wireless signals besides just the one in your home. What happens is you start to get channel crowding, and that means that you've got a lot of people that are using the same channel, and so you've got a lot of data going back and forth, and there's interference. And you know, most people nowadays, even though, you know, people go online and buy products, most people still go to the store and they buy one of the three major brands, your Netgear, your Linksys, or your D-Link brand wireless equipment. And this equipment, folks, is all set to default channels, so it's all the same. So if people in your neighborhood, for example, if you live in an apartment building, you know, the guy upstairs above you, if he has a Linksys router, and the guy next door to you has a Linksys router, and you've got a Linksys router, chances are your signals are probably all on the same channel. And so you might see some interference from that. You might see some interference. And so what we recommend for people to do is to go in and try out different channels on the wireless router and their wireless card. And you can change the channel, and oftentimes this will reduce the interference and result in a better signal and also better coverage. Now, to change a channel, it's important to note that you have to change a channel on both the card and the router, and they have to match. So if you log into your router's administrative area, if you don't know what I'm talking about when I say that, perhaps you had somebody set up the router for you. Every wireless router has a little bit of software inside of it, and it can be accessed through a web browser, and this is what keeps your wireless settings, your wireless encryption, if you have encryption enabled, the name of your wireless network, which can be changed, and the instructions on how to access this part of your router can always be found in the instructions on setting up the router. So if you bought a Linksys router, go look at your Linksys manual for the instructions. But if you had somebody else set it up for you, you may need to call the manufacturer's tech support, or you may need to call the person that set it up for you if you don't have the instructions, because to access the router, it's usually an IP address. And an IP address is almost like a website, but it's a series of numbers, like 192.168.1.1. And you have to put that IP address in a web browser, and an IP address will take you to the administrative area of your wireless router. But the IP address is specific for your specific model. It's going to be whatever it is designated in the manual. So you can't just guess what the IP address is. It's not going to work. Now, there are some more technical ways that you can find out what it is. So if your router, perhaps it's made by a company that's gone out of business and you can't get any support for it, send us an email, because we've already got a snippet of text that we've typed up which tells people how to search and find the IP address of their wireless router. Okay, so send us that and we'll respond with that snippet of text, because I don't want to go into it here on the broadcast, because it'll probably take several minutes to, you know, really explain. But you can go inside the wireless router and look for an option for channel. Okay, and U.S. routers in the United States, made in the United States, have 11 different channels, channels 1 through 11. Usually the default is 1, 6, or 11, I've noticed. I don't know, I haven't used that many different brands of wireless router and paid that much attention to it, but usually the default channels are 1, 6, or 11. You know, it doesn't matter what channel you use, so change it to 7, 4, 5, 2, 3. Change it around, change it every few days. Just see if you get a different, a better quality signal or better range. But then what you also have to do is if the cars, the wireless cars will usually automatically detect what channel the wireless connection is on. They'll usually do that. However, if you have your settings pre-configured on your laptop or if it doesn't seem to be working, you can go in the wireless utility for the card on your laptop and change the channel as well. And then just, look in your card instructions if you can't figure it out by running the software and looking through the different options there on your laptop or desktop, and just change the channel so that it matches whatever you change it to on the router. So that's one way. Another way, folks, to improve the quality of your overall connection, this doesn't necessarily do anything to the range, but it might improve the speed, is to enable WEP encryption on your wireless network. And, some people say, well, is encryption really necessary? I don't care if somebody else uses my internet access. I don't mind sharing. I'm a sharer. I like sharing. There's two things to take into consideration when considering enabling encryption. The first is that most likely, technically and legally, your service provider, your cable or DSL provider, probably prohibits you from sharing the connection. So if you want to be within the rules, it's probably a good idea to do it anyway. But, check out the fine print of your user agreement, because, they may not prevent you from sharing. I don't really know per se. It depends upon the company. But the other reason, the main reason, is because folks, if you live in an apartment complex, for example, the guy upstairs, he don't want to pay for internet access, so he goes ahead and connects to your wireless access point for his internet access. Well, there's nothing inherently terrible about that if he's just browsing a few web pages, but what happens if he starts downloading gigabytes worth of files? I've actually had this happen. A friend of mine has a roommate, and they live together, and they use the same access point, and he's noticed that when his friend is downloading these large games that he loves to download through the wireless network, his signal, his own connection to the access point, becomes very degraded. His speed is very slow. He can't get very good data through. Now, obviously, because they're sharing the access point, there's nothing he can do about that. But if you're living in an apartment and the guy above you is doing that, you may be sitting there saying, well, why is my wireless speed so slow? This is ridiculous. This is so slow. And the reason is because he's taking up all the bandwidth. So if you close that off, if you enable the WEP encryption inside your wireless router, and then you put in, a key, a password key, an encryption key, and put that same key in on your wireless card, you can prevent anybody else from using your internet access other than you. And just while we're on the subject, I didn't want to get into it too much detail, but folks, you got some crazy people out there doing all sorts of stuff on the internet, and it seems like the government is becoming more active in terms of trying to crack down on violations of the internet. People, most recently we've seen this political scandal where this guy's instant messages got him in some hot water with some underage people in the Congress there. And if somebody's doing something over your internet connection, if they're downloading illegal photographs or music files, if the government ever takes a look into it, what they're going to see is they're going to see that it was your internet connection, that it was your IP address that belonged to you, that went into your home, that accessed the material. They're not going to have any way of knowing, really, that that was actually accessed from outside your home. Now, I'm no, technology expert from the FBI, so they may have some ways of distinguishing it. But, I was thinking to myself, at the end of the day, if somebody upstairs is connecting to your access point, there's really no way for the government to know if it's not somebody in the next room or your own PC. So, unless it's somebody I'd really recommend turning on the WEP. It'll make your connection a lot better. It'll keep you, from maybe getting into some trouble down the road especially if you live in a city, folks. Now, if you live in New York City, for example, and you've got a good quality wireless router, you might be broadcasting that signal to several different apartment buildings. We're talking literally hundreds and hundreds of people, if not more, having access to your wireless network. So go ahead and turn on the encryption, and you'll probably save yourself some headache down the road. But those are two things right there that you can improve, that you can do to improve the strength of your signal and also the speed of your connection. And one other thing to take in mind is that the 802.11b and 802.11g wireless standards, the most popular equipment that you can get out there, they both operate on the 2.4 gigahertz frequency. Now, what does that mean? You know, in technical terms, I won't go into detail, but what it means is that there's other appliances that also operate on the 2.4 gigahertz frequency. Chief among them, 2.4 gigahertz wireless phones. They operate on the 2.4 gigahertz frequency. Some microwaves and other electronic appliances, you know, operate on these, you know, can interfere at least. The microwaves don't operate on a frequency, obviously, but they can interfere with the 2.4 gigahertz frequency. So one thing you can do to try to improve your connection is to set up your wireless router and your access point in such a way that they're not in between them. You don't have an appliance like a 2.4 gigahertz cordless phone or a microwave or something that may cause interference to the signal. Try to move phones out of the way of the wireless path. Also, try to put your wireless router close to an open area. You know, I was in a friend's house a few weeks ago and he was complaining because he didn't get very good wireless range, and he had his router down on the ground underneath a pile of papers, you know, on the floor there in the corner of the room, sandwiched in between a bookshelf and a computer desk. And I'm thinking, well, of course you're not getting good wireless range. You've got everything clustered around. And even though wireless signals don't have to be in line of sight, even though they can go through things like walls and bookshelves, the more things they have to go through, the lesser the range. So that's why if you look at a wireless, you know, router in the store and it says inside range, outside range, with a clear path without any, you know, big walls or doors in between, you can get a lot better range than you can inside. So the bottom line is, even though that it can go through the range, the signal can go through walls and doors, the fewer obstacles in between, the better the range. So get that thing off the floor, get it out from being sandwiched between a bookshelf and a desk and a stack of papers and books on top of it. Put it up on a desktop, close to probably a door opening. If you've got a desk or a shelf in your room that's close to a door opening, that's great, because then other computers you've got down the hall or over, you know, on the other side of the house, the signal doesn't have to go through your office wall because the router's right there next to the door. So get it high up off the ground, close to an opening like a door. If you live in an estate where you're trying to, or like, you know, I had one person email me, they're trying to set up wireless access in a bed and breakfast, and they've got these, like, I guess they're, you know, some sort of like huts next to each other. And she said, well, how do I broadcast from room to room when there's outdoor space in between? And the best thing to do in that case is to set up the router next to a window. So you got it next to a window, and a window is a lot thinner, a lot less, you know, is a lot less of a barrier to a wireless signal than a wall, a thick brick wall, which is what they had in the bed and breakfast. So those three things right there are things that you can do right now without having to buy more equipment that can probably improve your wireless range. We're running out of time here today. In fact, we've already gone over time. There's a couple more things you can do as well. To the person that asked that question and to those of you interested in the response, be sure to check our podcast next week, because I think I'm going to next week expand on that question and offer a few more examples of what you can do. Like I said, it's really all-inclusive, and that's why we only had time for that one question tonight, and we really didn't even have time to complete that whole question. So tune in next week. We'll go over that. And don't forget, folks, Rockland Office Suite 4 this week instead of last week. Next week, we've got the 200-milliwatt ABG USB high-power 200-milliwatt adapters, and lots of more good stuff as the holiday season starts to kick off. Sales season starts to kick off in November. We're going to have a wide selection of new products, and we'll be filling you in on our weekly podcast, on our blog. And as always, email us with your questions, comments, and criticisms. Have a great week, and I will see you next week. I really won't see you, but I will talk to you next week on the Rockland LLC podcast. Thanks, and good night.